Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
And we are back once again. This is the Voices of New Africa. I am your host, Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati. And as every Sunday, you are joined by us into your living room, into your living space to engage in conversation that is relevant to the liberation of New African people. And today, as always, as every week, we will be joined on the line by some of the brightest minds in the New African community. We will be joined by Sister Saanxa, Sister Ayodele, Brother Fadale, and Brother Kakaye as we discuss things that are relevant to the liberation of our people. So, as you probably noticed, this is the first show in February. In February, which is the coldest month of the year, the shortest month of the year. So that must mean it's time for Black History Month. And during this month of February, we will be acknowledging and honoring some of the ancestors, some of the great ancestors that were significant and made significant contributions to the struggle for liberation of our people. And we're doing that every show in February. Matter of fact, we may just do that every show, period. And today, we will honor our great sister, our great ancestor, Queen Mother Moore. And just a little background on Queen Mother Moore. She was one of the great leaders and the great struggles in our movement for independence, land, self-determination, and reparation. She became one of the leaders of the Garvey movement, the UNIA. She was the founder of the Universal Association of Ethiopian Women, also a founder of the founder of the Committee for Reparations for Descendants of U.S. Slaves. She actually went before the UN twice in her lifetime to petition for land and reparation, self-determination, and against genocide of African people. In fact, she's been one of the leading advocates for reparations for our people in this country. And as well, she is one of the founding members of the Republic of New Africa, which in 1968, 500 of our elders, many of them, most of them now ancestors, met in secret to declare our independence, to declare the new African Declaration of Independence, and to try to establish and set the goals and the guidelines and the strategy for us to achieve independence, self-determination, self-government, a sovereign African nation, a new African nation right here in the boundaries of North America. So today, in this first Sunday of February, Black History Month, we honor our great sister, Queen Mother Moore. And this leads us to our topic for today. Since this is Black History Month, is it still relevant? Is it still important for us to study, for us to learn, for us to acknowledge, for us to celebrate Black History Month? Or is that something that we have advanced past? I mean, we have a Black president now. Is there no need for us to have a Black History Month? Is that now irrelevant? And I'm going to open up the lines because I have some, like I said, some of the brightest minds in the New African community on the show every week. So I want to hear from my sister, Ayodele. Sister Ayodele, are you on the phone? Are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am, Brother Free the Land.
Be the land, I am, I will. So what do you think? Is it relevant in this 2016? Is it still relevant? Is it still important for us to celebrate or acknowledge a Black History Month? Is Black History even important? Is it even relevant? Is it even necessary for us to incorporate into our daily day-to-day lives? What do you think, sister?
I think it's vital. It is one of the things that we have to critically analyze and begin to understand that a people that don't know their history cannot know their destiny. And that's why the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. It's like if we don't have knowledge of our culture, our roots, our history, what can be our purpose, our destiny? And I don't think, I not only think that Black History Month should be a time that we focus in a little bit deeper, but I believe in 365 Black. I believe that African-American Black history should be studied 365 days. And as we study, we begin to analyze, look at the present condition under a racist and white supremacist system, understand our role and how we have been put in this situation, and it will help us by studying documents from our elders who have laid down plans, who have laid down visions, who have laid down strategies. It is important that we do that so that we can start unenslaving ourselves mentally, spiritually, physically, so that we know our purpose. We're trying to unenslave minds through education. So, brother, it's vital. It's vital because the system that we have today is a system of miseducation, trying to promote a culture and a system that is anti our spirit, our culture, our whole being. So we have to be able to say, well, who are we as an African people that have been enslaved in America for over 350 years? What were the strategies that every generation put into place to attempt to free our people, to help us become the tradesmen and the seamstresses and the technicians and the scientists, but be putting those skills to uplifting our own race, building our own communities, having stores, having shops, having schools, because we cannot continue to let the conqueror teach us, educate us, because it is one of miseducation.
Exactly. And you mentioned the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and he is quoted as saying that a people that lacks the knowledge of their history is like a tree without roots. And you know, a tree does not have roots. If a plant does not have roots, you can't grow. You simply wither up and die. And the important thing is about understanding history. You know, when you understand the history of a thing, you understand its origins. You understand how it developed into what it is today. See, a lot of people look at the present conditions today, and we don't understand it. Therefore, we can't find proper solutions to it because we don't understand how we got to the point that we are today. We see our people being murdered by the police, but we can't connect that with the historical relationship between our people and the system. So in order for us to correct the current problems, to change the current conditions, we have to understand how it developed, the interconnections between us, the system, and how the system evolved over time, and most importantly, who benefited from this relationship, who benefited from the evolution of the system and the historic relationship between us and the people. So I'm in agreement with you 100%, but I want to get some other perspectives. Do we have Brother Fadali on the phone?
Yes,
is Brother Fadali? I'm free to land,
yes,
brother.
I am aware.
So what do you think? Is it still important? Is it still relevant for us to celebrate, acknowledge, learn the history of our people in this day and time, in this, you know, this so-called post-racial America in which the media has claimed that we live in?
Well, first of all, we don't live in a post-racial America. But let me say this: the struggle continues, a lucha continua. The struggle continues. Mm-hmm. We are still in a struggle. We're still in the struggle for liberation, for redemption, and all the things that I heard Sister Aya Daly talk about. But we must understand that we have to advance beyond Black History Month to an African History Month. So, because she talks about Marcus Mosiah Garvey, he said Africans at home and Africans abroad, and mm-hmm. Africa is not liberated. Africa is still in the most desperate condition. African people throughout the world are in the most desperate conditions, and in the United States is not accepted. The African people in the United States are not accepted. They are part of the whole part and parcel of the whole African revolutionary process that must take place, that must be a global, I hear you talk about the system, you know, that we are under, so we have to have a global struggle to understand that our history is important, that history is the most important thing, because we're talking about the history of the struggle. We're not just talking about some romantic notion of history. We're talking about freeing and liberating ourselves. And so consequently, you know, even in, you know, in, if we're talking about just in the United States, the 500 signatories to the provisional governor of the Republic of New Africa, you know, who are mostly now deceased, are truly the our inspiration for organizing ourselves in the five states designated by us, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, and Louisiana, where most of the Africans who were enslaved worked and were majority populations in those states throughout most of the period of slavery. So we must begin to understand this, in other words, and expand, because we are not African Americans. We are African. We are new Africans in America, and we are African throughout the world. We understand Africa as a continent, and there have been many 55 nations on the continent of Africa, and then we have African nations in the Caribbean and in Western Hemisphere. So we're talking about Africans in the Western Hemisphere. When Malcolm X went out to the Organization of African Unity, he came back to organize not just the Africans in the United States of America, but the Western Hemisphere. He wanted to organize 150 million Africans that exist and live in the Western Hemisphere. So African History Month should be a month that we rededicate, we commemorate, we do all the things that are necessary to inspire us to be continued part of the struggle that still continues. And also we must begin to understand that, you know, that the in commemorating people like Audley Moore, Queen Mother Moore, who was an outstanding African woman who organized from, you know, the 1920s all the way until her death at the age of 97. She was still organizing, mm-hmm. and around the question of reparation and other and the, you know, Republic of New Africa and all of these things. And so we must begin to see, when we pull these people up, they must be examples of the struggle. You know, not just anybody that just died, you know, that was old or whatever, but who continued to participate in the struggle and pretend to lead the struggle. And that's what Queen Mother Moore, her life represents in the context of the struggle of African people. And she pointed out, she was in Memphis in 1971. That's what I saw for the first time, that she was in New Orleans when they pulled off and when they deported Marcus Garvey. And they demanded to hear, you know, they had guns and stuff, and they had demanded to hear Marcus Garvey before he got on that boat. And the authority had to let Marcus Garvey speak to those people in New Orleans, where she was, I think, originated from. And, yes. And so, a person who was, she was a militant person, you know, she, mm-hmm. you know, who carried her own gun, who did, you know, who understood that struggle, that political power ultimately will come through the barrel of a gun. And so once we understand those kind of things in terms of power, she represents African power, black power in that day, in her day, but African power today and new African power in the new African independence movement that we are now participating in.
Exactly. Well said, brother, as always. And we missed you last week, man. Really, really did miss you, and we're happy to hear that you're back on the air, giving us the wonderful perspective. But you mentioned something that was extremely important, because here in America, they tend to, you know, according to the dominant ideology, the European philosophy and ideological thought, they tend to try to isolate us as African people, with so-called African Americans, which they like to call us, those who want to integrate within the system. But they like to isolate us and as if our particular struggle is unique to our situation here in America and not a part of a global struggle. And that's one of the
right.
things that we have to, you know, really take from the whole concept of self-determination. We have to stop allowing other people to define ourselves, tell us what we should think, how we should think, because our struggle is not a local struggle. It's not a national struggle. It is a global struggle. The system of racism and white supremacy is a global system. The system of imperialism, the system of capitalism is a global system. And they affect African people not only in the United States, not only in the continent of Africa, but throughout the diaspora, all over the world. So that is an important thing that we expand our idea of African history. And it's not just Black history or African American history or whatever it is that we're calling it, but it is a history that understands that this is a global movement. And we have to think on the terms of global solutions because we are facing a global enemy. But I want to make sure that I get to everybody. Is my sister Sa'anka on the line? Hello, do I have Sister Sa'anka on the line? Sister Sa. All right, let me go to Brother Kakayu. Do I have my brother Kakayu on the line?
I think you've got Wallace Redd on the line, I think.
Wallace Redd?
Can you hear me?
Brother Wallace Redd. Yes, sir. How you doing, brother? How you doing, brother?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm fantastic. I just want to listen today. So do I need to hang up so you can...
No, you can listen. No, you can just listen, do your thing, you know. You can do your thing, brother. You're welcome. We're happy that everybody who wants to listen and participate, get some of the perspectives, the information that we provide every week. We are appreciative of everybody because the ultimate goal is to take this information and move it into action so we can start implementing solutions. You know, we don't want to just always talk about the problem. We want to talk about solutions and create solutions. And like my sister Ayodele said, you know, I'm an advocate of not only having African History Month, but African History Year. You know, we should be African History 365. It should be something. We don't just wait until a month like it's just a holiday and we get to celebrate our history. That's a part of self-determination. You don't allow anybody else to say, well, you can celebrate your history at this particular time of the year and the rest of the year is whatever. No. You know, we have to implement this history 365, which brings up a question. You know, like in any weapon, you know, people talk about nuclear weapon. I know I'm kind of going metaphorically out there. But, you know, if you have a weapon, if that weapon for liberation, part of that weapon of liberation for us is a proper education, we need a delivery system for this weapon. And right now, currently, when you're looking at the education system being that delivery weapon, and it's really a weapon because right now it's a weapon against our children, against our people. When you look at the public school system, or the public school system, because I have nephews as part of the public school system, and he had came home with a project for Black History, and he had a list of people that he had to do, you know, a report on, and it was full with names of entertainers, singers, athletes, but nobody who was really relevant to African history. They had like LeBron James. They had Usher, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, and I think now, you know, it's real popular to put Barack Obama on there. And I was just like, no, this is not acceptable. You know, and I suggested that if you're going to do a report on one of them, it's going to be a very sarcastic report,
mm-hmm.
and to point out the contradictions of that. So, can we talk about the school system? And I know Sister Ayodele, you're a part of the school system. So, what can we do? Are the school system doing an adequate job of preparing us, of inculcating us, or embedding us with the type of education and the knowledge of ourselves and the knowledge of our history that we need in order to be strong, productive African people who will fight for the liberation of our people. Sister Ayodele, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that the system, since they started the system here, that they needed to educate us, we needed to have an equal education with everybody, instead of remaining segregated, where there was a little bit more focus on our contributions, making sure that we are, as African people, had skills. One of the things that the education system that African people had, because it was based on Booker T. Washington's model, was to train not only the mind, but a man has gifts. If you don't expose them to woodworking, carpentry, knowing how to lay bricks, knowing how to design blueprints for a house, and all the other things that are needed to build a nation. Everyone should be called or should be exposed to information about all types of things. But at the same time, they need to be educated, and history needs to be reinstilled, because, as I said before, if we don't know who we are, if we don't know the journey that brought us here to America and put it all in perspective, because as we teach our children, they're going to be asking questions. They're going to be more curious. They're going to be open to, this is how we should be treating one another. This is how we should be protecting one another, taking care of one another, making sure we're healing one another, making sure that we are we show the brilliance that all of us have within us according to what your gift is, but being putting it to the service of the race, instead of into a system that has used us to build their empire. As a matter of fact, we launched their empire. It is off the backs of African people that this system has risen. And then they turn around and want to use us as everyday targets, experimentation, changing our ways, turning us into a system that is a leftover from Roman times, Babylonian times. You're talking about Greek times. That system has evolved itself all the way into imperialism, neocolonialism, capitalism, and it is designed and it is based to feed and suck everything out of a people. Resources, minimize the resources that we have, our physical labor, take the resources out of the land, and then come back and imprison and not share the wealth. As a matter of fact, just like Queen Mother Moore said, she was an advocate for reparations. I saw her when I lived in Africa. She says, we deserve it. Don't you want it? Don't you think that you earned it? So that was one of the things that she was always talking about in the last of her days. And it's all about educating our people. When we sit down and logically go through history and train our children and teach our children and show our children, they're going to be understanding that this is that we must educate ourselves, take care of ourselves, implement the principles that are key, that define us uniquely as an African people, the people who, if history teaches us, that launched world civilizations, that came up with the first God science, mathematics, everything that this world is built on came from Africa. But because of history, and that is for us to study and talk about, we are where we are as an African people today. We have allowed 3,500 years of a rule by a people who have wreaked havoc over the world, and our people need to understand what our role should be in bringing down that system for our children's 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 children, because we have the right, history teaches us, as human beings, to live the life that we want to live. We don't have to be under any man's domination. We don't have to recognize their economic system. But we do have the right, self-determination, to build a nation. And that nation here in America, and the nations that have been inhabited by black people around this world and the continent of Africa have the historical duty to our children, our women, our elders, to make sure that this world is one where our children have a legacy and not one of enslavement and killings and murders and experimentation and just horrors and all the things that this wicked system has put on this earth. We have that.
Well said. Well said. Well said, exactly. And I think I have my brother Kakai on the line. Is my brother Kakai there?
Yes,
I think that's my brother. All right, brother, you worried me. I was like, man, we gotta have, hear the perspective of the great and wise Kakai. Yeah, for free land to you, I am my will. So I'll go back to the original question with you, since we missed your perspective on that. Is it still relevant for our people to celebrate? I won't even say Black history, African history, our history. You know, is that something that we have evolved past? What are your perspectives, brother?
Well, thank you for asking. We have to recognize that in order for us to even have a solution to any problem, any situation, any condition that we're in, you have to go back to the origins of those or causes of those conditions and situations. And without history, you have no way of determining what is your solution. So history will always be necessary for us to get out of our condition and our situation, because in that problem itself is the solution. And if you look at the problem, within that problem lies the solution. And so in every aspect of our life, in every front that we're dealing with as African people in this continent, we recognize that there are certain things that must be dealt with, but the only way we can come with those conclusions is if we look at history and understand our situation today. I mean, there's a reason why our African children are not taught history in school, because anyone who knows what they've gone through, what their conditions are, what their problems are, who their enemies are, will inevitably come up with a solution to change that situation. So obviously a lot of us don't recognize who our enemy is because we don't know our history. Obviously we don't recognize the detriment that is caused to our community in this system because we don't know our history. Obviously, because we don't know our history, we don't know the solution to our problem or what actions to take to get out of this situation. Obviously, because we don't know our history, we don't have people who are conscious enough to recognize that we have a problem. So, yes, history is the answer. History should always be in our curriculum, in our everyday life, and just in our community. It just needs to be always present, because we'll start producing more and more people in our community who understand the problem, who recognize who our enemies are, and will understand the solution and what it takes to get out of the situation.
All right, brother. And we are almost out of time. It's funny how time just flies. But before we get out of here, we want to and let me do something real quick, because when the time kind of expired, the music just come blasting loudly. So let me be prepared for that. But we always want to end with some solutions. We don't just want to talk about the problems. We want to deal with some possible solutions, some solutions that we can actually implement in our day-to-day lives to correct the issue, at least begin to correct the problems of the situation. Because we understand, we look at our community, we look at the state of many of our people. We suffer from self-hatred. The amount of disrespect for ourselves is tremendous. The amount of disrespect for our women is unacceptable. And if you just analyze our people, you find that we suffer from a lack of knowledge, a lack of the knowledge of our history. There are actually youth who don't even understand that our African people, that our ancestors, many of our ancestors, there it is. They don't understand that our ancestors suffered through the enslavement period, suffered through the exploitation. And a people who lack their history, who don't understand that we come from greatness, because we have to expand this history not only just globally, but far past just the time that we spent in America, because we had a history long before the chattel slavery, long before the African slave trade. Our history starts with history. Our history starts with humanity. We are. African history is world history. So what are some solutions to remedy this lack of a knowledge of self, the lack of the knowledge of our history within our people? And I'm going to start with you, Sister Iodeli. What are some of the solutions? What do you think?
Well, the solutions are going to be on so many different levels. First of all, begin to have conversations in the family. If you don't have the information, try to get some books that the children and parents can sit down together and talk about them. Start trying to educate yourself. There are lots of videos. There are lots of websites to go to just start thinking about re-educating ourselves, defining ourselves, making sure that we're naming ourselves, understand the importance of just accepting that as an African people, it's really knowledge. But also, at the same time, there are lots of women in the community who are now beginning to homeschool, who African history is in their curriculum. We have a school, Marcus Garvey, which is an independent school system. If parents have the ability and unite enough, that school can be productive. We have daycares that need to be teaching little songs and dances about some of our leaders and heroes, and making sure that they're highlighted, because it begins on all levels of education. I believe that even the HBCUs, one of the foundations of their education is that they should at least take two semesters of African history. And be able to know that when you come out and you get your gifts, instead of you trying to get a job in the system, come back and be of service to your race and your people. So their education is going to be on so many different levels. And then making sure that with our education comes a vocational component to that education. That our children, you teach a man to use his mind, okay, it's wonderful. But when you teach a man to use his hands, he has a job every day. Every day, because there's going to be someone in need of those services. So, education, yes, education, making sure we have the reading, the writing, the math, the languages, the technical skills, the computer skills, because our children are brilliant, but they are miseducated. Some of them have come through a system, and people know it. They're 2 to 3 years behind. The reading is not well. So, in some cases, They're not as educated as they should be. So those are the solutions.
All right. Excellent said. Excellently stated. Brother Kakayi, you still there with us, brother?
Yes, brother. You are.
Brother Kakayi, can I briefly give me some solutions? How can we re-educate our people, re-educate the miseducated, educate the uneducated, and re-educate the miseducated? You know, about our history and really everything in which we need to know in order to properly engage and fight for the liberation and the upliftment of the conditions of our people.
Well, brother, it's interesting that you mentioned all of those situations that we need to overcome. Those are different dynamics that Queen Ayodele alluded to. And the answer is within the problem, as I mentioned before. It's education. Now, how do we go about doing the education to help our people liberate themselves? Well, number one, let's look at an example of a term called segregation. In our community, they have been miseducated to believe that integrating and stimulating and being a part of a system that doesn't have their best interest at heart is the answer. But when we look at history and look at segregation, our people flourished when we were in segregation. We have to take the components of that segregation and realize the things that we need to do as a people that will put us back in on a positive momentum. When we were segregated became a thing of the past because the European Euro white people, crackers, they saw that as we became empowered to educate ourselves, to develop our own system of education, to teach our children how to be self-sufficient, was surpassing their system in and of itself. They became agitated, angry, upset, to the point where they bombed cities, put cities on fire, ran on mass killing sprees of black people. So when we say the solution is education, remember and always remember our history, that once we begin to educate ourselves and we become self-sufficient, then we have to be intelligent. And like Malcolm X says, intelligence, it has to be in our community. And when you talk about protecting and defending yourself to maintain your existence as a people, then that can be that is, and that only is, intelligence. So we have to develop intelligence with that mind frame. We have to give our children the right education so that we can recognize that when we were segregated, we flourished as a people, and we have to be prepared by any means necessary.
No doubt. Well said. Well said. And, of course, Brother Fadali. You still online, Brother Fadali?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Go for it, brother. No, you got it.
Okay, so we have to be outside of the box. As long as we're inside of the box, as long as we think that we can have education and we're going to go get these jobs and we're going to go get these things in this American empire, you know, then we're still falling inside the box. So consequently, we must struggle, understand that we are a captured nation, and that we're in a captured nation, our mission is to free ourselves. In the process of freeing ourselves, those of us who are conscious and want to produce consciousness among the mass of people, then we have to struggle to control everything that is in our community and control and take over everything that's in our community under the auspices of our national struggle that we are having in terms of, you know, of the new African independence movement. And anybody that thinks that they can come to a solution to a problem within the American system as it exists without any kind of struggle, with any kind of ability to pull the people together, to unite the people, to unite the community, all of these things are going to be taken on by the state, and the state is going to try to do everything it can to crush that. So consequently, it is in the crux of struggle that we create the behaviors, the educational activities, and all those things within the country. And so we have to pull the people into the struggle. We have to pull the people into the nation to understand that their job is to create a new nation or a new global system. We talk about African people overall, because until we overthrow all of this oppression and exploitation and all kinds of discrimination and everything, then we're still going to have the same problem. There's no remedy within the system. There's no remedy, you know, other than that for us, other than to overthrow it and to create revolutionary condition and revolutionary situation that is going to ultimately free our people. Once the people become freed, we'll be able to do all those things that left. But in the meanwhile, just we need to create the consciousness, bring up African consciousness, bring up new African consciousness to the point of where the people understand that their ultimate struggle is to take over our own lives, our own communities, our own situations that we are in. And so, but as long as we're thinking inside the box, thinking we're going to be able to have homeschooling, you know, in isolation and all that, no, everything has to be systematized within the struggle. Once we understand that, once we see that happening, then even when, as we are overthrowing the system, we are in the process of creating a new system that's going to liberate our people, liberate our minds, and give our children the hope that is necessary, and create the behaviors, the normal behaviors under revolutionary conditions where we would have respect for each other and self-respect and all of those things. And all the enemies of neocolonialism will be overthrown. We have to cut them off, because they're going to continually try to trip up any kind of activity that's going to lead to true revolutionary struggle. And I think that's where we have to begin to see the solution. The solution has to be in people who are committed within the new African independence movement to create those things under the auspices of the new African government, new African government that must be created. And once we see that, once we see the fruition of that, and we see the people coming back to the states and the areas that we are going to designate to be our nation, then we will be able to do those things that be necessary. But ultimately, we're going to have the wherewithal to protect that. And that's what has happened in the past. We have not been able to protect the institution. And so the white supremacists and the racists have come in to destroy and disrupt our operation. And I like to say, when we talk about segregation, we're saying separation. Segregation is a term that's created by them. It's a legal term created by the enemy. We should never use the term segregation. We must say we're going to be separating from our enemies. All right.
Yes,
well said.
Yes, sir.
Well said.
Well said. And we are just about out of time. In fact, we are out of time. We went over our time, but that's okay, because we're not going to let them tell us when we should stop. And we should let this thing go, because we have important things to say, important perspectives to get out. As always, as we discuss those things relevant to the collective liberation of African people, I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank Brother Kakaye, Sister Ayodele, and of course our local scholar, historian, and grand teacher, Brother Fadali, for joining us and sharing their perspectives. And for everyone who's listening in, I know we have a couple of listeners in today. Thank you all. And for everybody out there in internet world listening, thank you. Join us every week as we talk about the things that are dedicated to the liberation of new African people on the Voices of New Africa. I am Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yay-Ra. Thank you. Free the land.
Free the land.
Free the land, brother.
I am, I will.
I am, I will.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
You're listening to the Voices of New Africa. Free the land.